This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Justice Department sending a letter to Trump supporter Elon Musk over his PAC's $1 million sweepstakes.
A source familiar with the matter confirms to ABC News that the Justice Department has warned Elon Musk's PAC that it might be violating federal law. It's illegal to pay people to vote or to register to vote. Each day, Musk is giving away $1 million to a signer of his petition in support of the First and Second Amendments. But because that giveaway is only open to registered voters in the key battleground states, some experts say it serves as an inducement to register to vote, potentially running afoul of the law.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. In Arizona, Tempe police say they've arrested a man in connection with Tuesday's damaged political signs incident, and police say that Jeffrey Kelly is the same suspect accused of three separate shooting incidents targeting the Democratic National Committee offices last month. Existing home sales fell by 1% in September and on track for the worst year since 1995 for a second straight year. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Scientists in Wisconsin are leading a nationwide Alzheimer's study. The National Institutes of Health is giving the UW-Madison more than $150 million. It's the biggest NIH grant in UW history. The Kamala Harris campaign is making its closing argument to American voters. Democratic running mate Tim Walz campaigned in Racine and Madison yesterday.
Our team is running like everything is on the line because everything is on the line.
Walz made the case that Donald Trump would be dangerous with broad immunity from prosecution. He got some help from former President Barack Obama.
We do not need to see what an older, loonier Donald Trump looks like with no guardrails.
Obama says Americans are ready to turn the page. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Several key deadlines are rapidly approaching for eligible registered Wisconsin voters seeking to cast an absentee ballot before the November 5th general election. Municipal clerks are issuing in-person absentee ballots at the clerk's office or another designated location. The in-person absentee voting process involves a voter both requesting and completing a ballot on the same trip to the clerk's office or designated location. Municipalities may offer in-person absentee voting through Sunday, November 3rd. Thursday, October 31st is the last day for most voters to request an absentee ballot by mail, online, email, or fax for the November 5th general election. In practical terms, though, that results in an unrealistic time frame for the voter to complete the ballot and return it to their clerk by Election Day. Voters who still want to request an absentee ballot by mail should act immediately. Registered voters can make their request online at myvote.wi.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Badgers brace for Penn State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers host Penn State Saturday night. The number 3 ranked team in the nation, quarterback Braden Lock asked, does it help that they've played top ranked teams like USC or Alabama already this season?
To be out there against a very talented Alabama team, to be out there against a very talented USC team, I think it's helped our team grow. And I think it's helped us mature. You know, I'm growing each and every week. I'm not naive to think that I'm not still, you know, young. I think I've had 7 or 8 starts. So I think you learn and you grow each and every week.
NBA, the Bucks in Philly tonight against the 76ers. Torian Prince asked if the Bucks are ready to kick off the season.
I feel like we're ready. Obviously, having experience in the game, knowing that those are going to come, staying level-headed, taking advantage of the highs, and then when things do get lower, adversity hits, being able to weather the storm as fast as possible.
That's the Bucks' new forward, Torian Prince. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A gusty northwest wind is whipping up to 30 miles per hour and keeping our high temperatures to just near 60. With more and more sunshine this afternoon and clear skies tonight, winds calm and temperatures crash cold. Falling below freezing to near 30 degrees, it'll be a crisp start to the day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapahoe Way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Host of Rational Revolution, Mark Becker, in with a big announcement. And friend of the show, Matt Flynn, looking at the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Check, check, check.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy, happy hump day to us all. You can be part of this fine production, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just working hard on the board, on the lines. And it's Wednesday, so I am joined by Matt Rothschild, our dear friend. Matt, thank you for joining us. You may know him. He was the former executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, former editor and publisher of the Progressive Magazine, and author of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Dom, thanks for having me. It's always good to be on your show, and I enjoyed guest hosting while you were
Yeah, here. Man.
It was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. You're an old radio dog, man, so you know what you're doing.
Can't resist a microphone over here.
I know, man. There's something about it, no doubt about it. Today's topics, and I know, and I feel, I'm torn, Matt, because it seems like we talk a lot about Trump. And, of course, this is election cycle. We can talk about Harris and lots of other events going on in the world. And we talk a lot about the fascism and the authoritarian tendencies of Donald Trump. And so we're going to kind of focus on that in the first hour. But, Matt, it's not going to be me saying it. It's not going to be you saying it. The New York Times had former General John Kelly. Now, this guy was a Marine general. He was the Secretary of Homeland Security under Donald Trump, and he was Donald Trump's longest-serving chief of staff. And he came out, and he talked to the New York Times, and he has said some really, really dramatic stuff, Matt. And it goes to, I guess, the point that we've been saying for quite some time, and I hate to, you know, beat the dead horse, but this is very important. These are the things that really, really matter, because we're not, you can't even get to the point to talk about tax rates and speed limits when you have a guy who is threatening to use the authority and the power of the government and its resources and the army and the National Guard against your political opponents. Matt, my understanding, you had a little op-ed on this piece as well. Do you get where I'm coming from? Am I overreacting? I've had folks tell me, Matt, you guys, so much Trump, so much fascism, but God, isn't it? I mean, we only got less than 2 weeks. Is it important to talk about, Matt, or are we just beating this thing to death?
No, you can't beat it to death. To me, this is the most important, the most crucial issue before us. It is the moral imperative before all of us. This is why we have Liz Cheney talking about this. This is why we have, you know, Mark Milley. Another general calling Trump a fascist to the core. Esper, former defense secretary, saying he's unfit to be president because he doesn't respect our Constitution. Now, I know a lot of people are in their camps. Yeah, I always vote Republican, or they're getting their jollies off of some of the ridiculous things that Trump says because they think it's entertainment and they're sick of politicians as usual and politics as usual. I get that. But look, this isn't, you know, about who's going to be the most entertaining president. This is about, are we going to have a democracy left in our country? And Trump has told us he wants to be dictator on day one, at least for one day, or only for one day, but I don't believe that only. And that, you know, he's going to not obey the Constitution. And I take it very seriously when the generals who are around him, when his former chief of staff, John Kelly, warns us about fascism, when General Milley warns us about fascism. And yeah, I was on Saturday night, you know, I've been studying fascism since I was in college. And then when I was at the Progressive, you know, I wrote about it there. And then when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, we had a feature on what is fascism and the threat that Trump poses to fascism. So this is a subject that, you know, I've been looking at for a long, long time. And when I saw Trump come down that escalator in 2015, scapegoating Mexicans, it sounded like a fascist to me. Yeah. And when he's scapegoating trans people here and immigrants again, this time around, it smells a lot like fascism. Fascism has a mass base. Trump has a mass base. Fascism has an armed mass base. There are armed people behind Trump. We saw what happened on January 6th. I mean, there was a scholar of fascism named Paxton who was saying Trump's not a fascist for the longest time after January 6th. Guess what? He flipped. He said, yeah, he is.
Apparently he might be.
Fascist.
Yeah.
And I want to hear another scholar named Jason Stanley from Yale. Yale's got a lot of good people writing on fascism, including Professor Snyder, who wrote a book called On Tyranny, a little pamphlet after Trump was elected the first time, which is right next to my desk in my office.
It's also a favorite of the Busted Pencils doctors.
Yeah, I recommend it to anybody. But Professor Jason Stanley at Yale, his colleague, has been writing a couple books on fascism. He was at Leopold's bookstore in Madison on Saturday night. Also on Sunday night, he was in Fox Point at Friendship Circle Cafe and Bakery talking about his latest book, Erasing History, How Fascists Rewrite the Past to Control the Future. Well, it wasn't 30 seconds in when he says everything coming out of Trump's mouth sounds just like Mein Kampf.
Wow.
And so that, you know, got the hair on the back of my neck to kind of rise up a little bit.
Now, here's the thing, though, Matt. When I hear that, and we're going to talk about these comments that have been said. Now, these are by Republican conservatives, man. This isn't, you know, this isn't the hardcore lefty Bernie bros saying this. These are folks that were appointed by Trump, worked for Trump, and have been conservatives their entire lives, to my understanding. This is not me. You know what I'm saying?
No, nor is it's not just me either. I mean, and it's not just these scholars. People could say, oh, they're Ivy League scholars, Tower, la la, and kind of you know, touch the anti-intellectual brand of the American popular culture. But look at, what are you going to say when the generals are saying it? Are you going to ignore it still? I mean, I don't know how people can ignore this anymore. And I don't think a lot of people understand what fascism actually is in practice. In Chile, you know, they killed tens of thousands of people and tortured tens of thousands of people. In Nazi Germany, they killed 5 million Jews and hundreds of thousands of lesbians and gays and hundreds of thousands of Romas. And, you know, people die under fascism. People are arrested for no legitimate reason. You know, political prisoners. We don't have political prisoners in the United States. We'll have a lot of political prisoners under Donald Trump. He's going to probably arrest Schiff and Pelosi. He keeps bragging about doing that.
But, I mean, you can't. You got to.
And that's not America.
And this is what drives me crazy. I mean, the practical implications of this. Donald Trump wins the election. How's he going to go out and just start arresting Pelosi and Adam Schiff? I mean, the guy's a sitting congressman. You're a president. You have separate co-equal branches of government. You're going to tell me that a guy like Donald Trump is going to instill and he's going to install a Bob Barr 2 that's going to go out and what, drum up charges? You got to charge him with something, right? You got to have some justification, even if it's bunk justification, to go out and grab a sitting congressman and put him in handcuffs, right?
Well, Bob Barr Jr. would do it. I mean, and who's going to stop him? You know,
well, Adam Schiff and Adam Schiff and his attorneys and the folks that would protect Congress from this kind of thing. I mean, this is what I'm saying. How does this literally happen? That's what I don't get. And I get the threat. It's one thing for someone to stand up and talk all sorts of trash. And we hear this, all, you know, the Civil War, the 20% of the Republicans that say if Trump doesn't win, that it's rigged. And, you know, there's a lot of keyboard warriors out there, Matt, that think that They're tough people. But if that were to happen, everyone thinks that they're not going to get civil warred. You know what I mean? That this not going to be them. It's going to be the other folks that are going to be caught up in this thing. And when these when this fascism breaks out, when the civil war kind of stuff breaks out, everybody is impacted. Not just those who you think are be the ones that will be justified to be, you know, interned or arrested unconstitutionally. And we still have a constitution, right? I mean, Adam Schiff would have protections, right?
Well, do we? I mean, this is how it could happen. Trump is, Trump is elected, takes power on January 20th. On January 21st, he invokes the Insurrection Act, which he alone can do as president of the United States to invoke the Insurrection Act, which gives him unilateral powers for 30 days to put the U.S. military in the streets of America. And then given the U.S. Supreme Court decision on immunity, he can tell his Justice Department and federal law enforcement to go arrest Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi because they're enemies of the people. I mean, it can happen. And there are also other emergency powers that he has under some obscure things like National Security Directive 51, when he can say there's an extreme emergency here in the United States, and this has been on the shelf for a while. In case of extreme emergencies, I can declare a state of emergency and go to town.
Wow. What a scary concept. And given that the U.S. Supreme Court has now handed, Donald Trump his get-out-of-jail-free card, and in doing so, certainly made the president like a king. And you know, right now, these same powers are in the hands of President Joe Biden. And presumably, if Harris wins, she will have these powers. And if Trump wins, he will have these powers. And this is expanded power to what? To suppress the citizens of the United States and your perceived political enemies. I mean, wow, Matt, what a scary concept.
Yeah, I mean, so he has under the Insurrection Act, the National Emergency Act, the National Security Directive 51, all sorts of powers. And I blame two people principally. Mitch McConnell for not convicting him in the Senate and telling other Republicans to convict. And Chief Justice Roberts now for giving this guy, any president, unbelievable powers. But that's why this is such a delicate moment. And it really is a decisive moment for our democracy. And I want our democracy to hold. It's not a perfect democracy. I want to give us a chance to perfect the democracy.
Sure.
Not just to have to fight back against fascists who take over, because that'll be a whole nother program
and I'm just thinking of my own mindset that if a guy like Donald Trump, for no reason, gets into office and just declares, hey, Insurrection Act, and starts, putting troops in the street, that's going to cause people to go into the streets. You know what I mean? It's going to create the very thing that he would try to stop.
Yeah, and he may have been wishing for that on January 6th, too, that there were more protests that he could go out. Remember, he wanted to kneecap Black Lives Matter protesters. So, that's the guy's impulse. That is the impulse of a fascist, and that's why we're talking about fascism today.
This is the Dom Salvia Show. That is Matt Rothschild. Our number is 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to get into some of this New York Times reporting. John Kelly, once again, former Marine General, former Security of Homeland, Secretary of Homeland Security, former Chief of Staff for former President Trump. I mean, this guy's on the inner circle. He is so concerned. He went not only just on the record, but we got the audio, the sound of General Kelly and his concerns that Trump would rule like a dictator. 855-752-4842. Your call's welcome as well.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild co-hosting with me just on the board and on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to dive into this New York Times piece. We got some call early innovators. Let's get to them. Bill from Oconomowoc, you are up. Happy hump day, Bill. What do you got for us?
Well, I came up with something after reading about the Constitution and the Act of Transfer of Power. I used to be, or I still am, I'm going to vote for Kamala. But if she loses, I'm going to be more excited. And here's why.
Why is that?
She is vice president. She, as vice president, has to validate Trump. Now, she, in that position as vice president, remember, Pence would not validate an illegal election. If he is on the ticket and Kamala has to validate him, with her background as a state's attorney general and being in the law system and interrogating many people like Trump, many felons, how can she let a criminal that's covered under the 14th Amendment, Section 3, legally become president? Now, the concept of that is pretty dynamic, but here's what could happen. If she so much as questions his ability to serve as president, I think America is going to rally around her. Because if he gets in, I'll tell you right now, we both know that it's subject to scrutiny if it was even legal. Because if you remember in 2016, he lost to Hillary Clinton by 3 million votes.
Well, the popular vote. No, I get that, but you got in through the Electoral College. Bill, listen, my understanding is they've actually passed some legislation. Thank you for the call, Bill. And Matt, what's your opinion on this? That very much clarified that the vice president's role in this process is ceremonial. They can't, the vice president, really, really, Kamala Harris or Pence, can't stop it. And if Donald Trump wins this election, if Donald Trump wins the free and fair election, I absolutely expect that Harris would do the constitutional thing and do her ceremonial duty. I don't want him to win, but I mean, if he wins, he wins. If enough people vote for the guy and he wins the election, I'm not going to go pull a stop the steal and do the same thing that the megas did. Of course, we can't do that. We would be hypocrites, man.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Dom. And thanks, Bill, for the call. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I don't want Trump to be president either. But if he wins a majority of the electoral votes, he gets to be president. And, you know, remember, Al Gore validated George W. Bush. I'm sure it wasn't fun for Gore that day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was the U.S. Supreme Court, of course, who gave it to George W. Bush. But Gore did his job. And, yes, we've had a revision of our statute so that the vice president just has to do his or her ceremonial duty. And I'm sure she'd do it. And then we'd have to learn how to fight against Trump if he were to win. But I don't think he's going to win. But if he does, that's a conversation for another
day. And we'll have those conversations in less than 2 weeks. Hopefully it won't be that conversation. 855-752-4842. We will get to the sound of General John Kelly from the New York Times. In the meantime, let's jump in here. One more. We'll squeeze Kurt from Madison in before the bottom of the hour. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Thanks. Just consider me the angry political guy now. I'm old enough to remember all the crap that went down with Nixon up through Reagan and beyond. And to think that we can simply now just look at this time point in time as it's just Republicans. No, the Democrats are just as complicit of these activities. Just look at any of the things McConnell pulled on the Senate floor, and the Democrats bent over and gave him practically everything he wanted. This is just a long,
wait,
long
hang on, Kurt, come back. On, angry old man, Kurt. What are you talking about? When did the Democrats roll over on McConnell? I mean, if McConnell's the head of the Senate, that means they got the majority, and the Dems really don't have a lot of power in that particular situation.
It starts with the filibuster.
So Manchin and Sinema, they could have done something, but we don't. We still have the filibuster. So you're saying that the Dems were complicit by not getting rid of the filibuster when they potentially could have?
No, I'm going way before that.
All right.
Senator from Nevada, it was all ready to go. And McConnell says, oh, trust me, we'll make sure we'll play nice. It's the classic Charlie Brown episode. I'll email you the information to get you back up to speed. And then we got screwed on that. And I'm sorry, there's consequences when Democrats don't have a spine to do what really needs to get done. I challenge anybody to come back and say I'm wrong.
Well, Kurt, listen, Matt Rothschild here. I have been critical of many Democrats for many years. But it's just not true that they're just as complicit as Republicans or Mitch McConnell in what's transpired here in America over the last 10 years or so. And what we're facing right now in these last 2 weeks is a real decision and a real contrast. And I know Kamala Harris draws this contrast about going back to the past or going to the future. It's also the contrast she draws between obeying the Constitution and tearing up the Constitution. And I think that's what we have to focus on at this point. Sure, the Democrats could have done better. I hope they'll do better in the future. But this is a real crucial choice. And to me, the choice is quite obvious.
Thank you for the call, Kurt. And certainly, all the things that have happened in the past, good, bad, indifferent, right, left, middle, whatever, have brought us to this point. And if we're going to move forward, it's not to ignore what the past has been. But certainly what we can do, we can learn from it. Hopefully we will learn from it. And if you're talking about, Lucy and Charlie Brown and the football and a guy like Mitch McConnell, I think a lot of those folks are going to have a hell of a time, reaching across the aisle on the other side. This level of polarization is something that I haven't seen before. And it's one thing to take, the Republicans' word for an issue or legislation on a topic, on a onesie, twosie here and there. But what's the overall arc? Well, to me, it's that the Republicans have slowly shifted into this authoritarian kind of mindset, Matt. And these were the Reagan stuff. We heard Liz Cheney yesterday, Matt, talk about Kamala Harris's speech at the Democratic National Convention sounded more like Reagan. She was in the Republicans now, they sound more authoritarian, man. Is this Hungary?
Yeah, I mean, she sounded like Reagan when she was painting a sunny future, just like Reagan did. And the other folks are on the fascist side. My piece, Trump and the Fascist Threat, people can find on the Civic Media Radio Network on the website there.
Check out the piece by Matt Rothschild on civicmedia.us, a New York Times piece, Michael Schmidt, an interview with John Kelly, former Marine General, former Homeland Security Secretary, and former Chief of Staff for Trump. 855-75-CIVIC.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's open enrollment time for Medicare. People can change their plans from now until December 7th. Stephanie Fahuri is a Medicare advisor. She says make sure you know which plans your doctor will accept next year.
Every year we see people make a change only to find out in January that their doctor is no longer in network. So we like to help people avoid that.
Experts say it's important to compare copays and deductibles, not just monthly premiums. The new Glarus Brewery is expanding its operations with a new $55 million hospitality wing. The makers of Spotted Cow Beer say they want to meet the needs of visitors and increase their brewing and distilling space. We don't know if this means expanded hours for visitors. There's a groundbreaking next week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. As a disaster relief volunteer working in hurricane-ravaged Florida, Green Bay real estate agent Mike Pritzel said he spends his days serving food, cleaning, and helping the residents of the shelter in any way he can.
One of the things that we're tasked with is bringing compassion and hope for these people. It's heartbreaking, but, you know, I only have one tangible skill, and that's talking. So for me to sit down for 10, 15 minutes and just listen, put a hand on a shoulder and say, hey, we're going to do what we can, it's really fulfilling.
To discover ways you can help with disaster relief through donations, volunteering, or financial support, visit our Hurricane Help page at civicmedia.us/help. The Riverdale FFA will host a haunted walk at the school farm Thursday from 6:30 to 9. Enter and park through the test plot entrance. Free will donations will be accepted. Those attending are to wear closed-toed shoes. It's free and fun for all ages. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Looking for something new to watch? Who isn't? Here's one of Pete's picks. If you don't have Netflix, don't feel bad. It's really expensive. But if you do have it, check out The Lincoln Lawyer. Season 3 just dropped last weekend. Manuel Garcia Rufo plays the title character and, in my opinion, is even more captivating than Matthew McConaughey's portrayal from the movie. The show is well-produced and acted, and you can't beat the source material. The Lincoln Lawyer is based on crime novels by Michael Connelly. The third installment of the Dune franchise is dropping hints about the new film. Dune Messiah will be set 12 years after the end of Dune 2. Timothy Chalamet has not been officially announced as part of the cast, but is expected to be in the film. Other cast members will include Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken, and Austin Butler. Aging Timothy Chalamet 12 years? I see a Best Makeup Oscar headed their way. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A gusty northwest wind is whipping up to 30 miles per hour and keeping our high temperatures to just near 60. With more and more sunshine this afternoon and clear skies tonight, winds calm and temperatures crash cold. Falling below freezing to near 30 degrees, it'll be a crisp start to the day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, Tom Paulsiewicz and I dig into John Kelly's blockbuster New York Times interview. We've got the clips from the interview. Donald Trump fully bear-hugging Adolf Hitler. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
All aboard!
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Co-host Matt Rothschild joining me as well. Jess on the board, on the phones, 855-75-CIVIC. Callers, be patient. We will screen you. We will get to you. But we want to get to the sound of former General John Kelly, former chief of staff for President Trump. He did an interview with the New York Times and gets into some of the detail. So let's get to it before we start engaging with the callers some more. Otherwise, we're never going to get there. There are a few of them here. Some are a minute or two long, so be patient with us. I think it's very important. So you hear that it's not just Dom and Matt and Jess talking about it. These are conservatives. These are Republicans. These are military types. These are former advisors. These are former secretaries of Homeland Security. I mean, come on. If everyone around someone is saying something, either there's a grand conspiracy or it's probably true. And I'm thinking it's probably true, Matt. Let's start off again. Once again, this was in the New York Times, Michael Schmidt reporting. The first question, do you believe that Trump is a fascist? Let's play cut one, please, Jess.
What do you think? Do you think he's a fascist?
Well, I'm looking at the definition of fascism. it's a far-right, authoritarian, ultra-nationalist political ideology and movement characterized by a dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in a natural social hierarchy. So certainly, in my experience, those are the kinds of things that he thinks would work better in terms of running America. You know, again, back to this issue of, democracy is complicated, messy to operate, probably the worst kind of government there is, except for all the other ones. I think Churchill once said that. And again, our Constitution, our founders built in to the Constitution and to the way our government operates, built in a lot of checks and balances and didn't design the government to be streamlined and whatnot. So, but certainly the former president is in the far right area, certainly an authoritarian, admires people who are dictators. He has said that. So he certainly falls into the general definition of fascist, for sure.
He got there.
So, yes, he pulled out the Merriam-Webster dictionary and read it off and said, check, 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 check. And it's absolutely right. You know, and I can get it. You know, a guy like Donald Trump, who was in charge of his own businesses, right? When you're a businessman, you got lots of money, you tell people what to do and they do it, or they get fired or they get sued. Boom, boom, boom. There's no negotiation. I mean, if you own the business, and a guy like Donald Trump with his attitude, not really a collaborative kind of boss, I would think, you do what you're told or you're going to get fired. You know, that's not how government works. And when you're a guy like Donald Trump and you have this mentality and this privilege your entire life, and all of a sudden, hey, I get to the highest, you know, power in the land, in the world, and I got checks and balances. I have co-equal branches of government. I can't do everything I want like I have been in my little business dictatorship. There is some adjustment to that, and certainly Donald Trump did not adjust well.
Yeah, but it's not just that he's Warren Buffett or someone who becomes president and can't get everything done, because he's got all this fascination with dictators. You know, one of his former wives said he had Mein Kampf next to his bed.
Jeez.
Yeah, and, you know, and he loves Putin, he loves Xi, he loves the head of North Korea, he loves Orban, you know, and he says really racist things about immigrants, and including using the F-bomb the other day, what was quoted in the paper with a Latina soldier here in the United States who was killed, and he didn't want to pay the effing Mexican's funeral. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
So a quick side note in that story, it is obscene. Absolutely. A soldier was killed by another soldier, an American soldier, killed by a superior officer. There's allegations of assault and so forth. Killed, dismembered, my understanding. And what a horrible, terrible situation. And Donald Trump, when he met with the family, talked to the family, said he would help them. He would help pay financially the cost of this funeral. What a terrible circumstance. And really, what a nice thing to say and do, especially for a rich guy, you're president, and this is a soldier. Well, he got the bill. It was like $60,000. And what was his comment? It doesn't cost $60,000, say $60,000 to bury an effing Mexican. This was a soldier.
Come on now.
Yeah.
That's who you want to vote for, a guy who talks like that about a soldier who's under his command? I mean, this is just, it's just one outrage after another.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just can't have this man be president. What kind of a model is he for our kids, our grandkids, for our country, an image for our country? I mean, it's just, he's the ugliest of ugly Americans, truly he is.
And he's being supported and enabled by what's left of the Republican Party, and apparently millions and millions and millions of followers. Not one of his fans, former General John Kelly, former Marine General, former Secretary of Homeland Security, and former Chief of Staff, the longest Chief of Staff for Trump during his presidency. The New York Times article, would Trump like to govern as a dictator? Cut number two, please, Jess.
If he was left to his own devices, would he be a dictator if he didn't have people around him?
Oh, I think he'd love to be. I think he'd love to be just like he was in business. He could tell people to do things and they would do it, and not really bother too much about whether what the legalities were and whatnot. But again, I didn't know him before, so I can't really.
I mean, he'd love to. I mean, remember what he said about President Xi. President Xi is dictator for life. Doesn't that sound good? Trump said. Right. Wouldn't that be good to have here in the United States?
That'd be great. There he
is, fantasizing about being dictator. I mean, that's who he wants to be.
Would you rather have people love you or fear you, Matt? I guess that's the question for Trump. Let's go to cut number three. Trump using the military against U.S. citizen political opponents. This one's a little bit longer. Do we have time for this one? Yeah, we do. Let's get it out there, Jess. Thank you.
And I think using the military to go after American citizens is one of those things I think is a very, very bad thing. Even to say it for political purposes to get elected, I think it's a very, very bad thing, let alone actually doing it.
So you're saying when you saw him say that recently, and as he said on the campaign trail, that was something that really concerned you to the point that you thought, as you sat there trying to figure out what to do, you thought maybe it's worth answering some questions about this.
Yeah, it is. And I go back to George Washington and how he set up before there was an America, how he set it up so that the military would stay out of, would not be used in the United States or in the domestically, and that the way forward was for military officers not to be involved in politics. And again, unless you're someone like me or Mattis or, people like that that retired from the military or left the military, like Mark Esper or Mike Pompeo, and then go into a political job, whether it's elected or assigned by the White House, it's a little bit different because you're then involved in it. But for the most part, you just, and that's why I'm so hesitant to talk. It's certainly never to tell or recommend to an American who they should vote for, because now that I'm out of the political job, I'm back to being pretty much a retired military officer who should not get too involved in this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, until the former president started talking about this, and this goes back to my, when I was in the White House, for that matter, DHS, I was, originally the conversation would be, Mr. President, that's outside your authority, or, that's a routine use. You really don't want to do that inside the United States. But now that he's talking about it as I'm going to do it is
again, it's disturbing.
It's disturbing.
Yeah, that was General John Kelly, Chief of Staff John Kelly, saying why he was speaking out to the New York Times reporter when he was so reluctant, had been reluctant to do so. It was Trump announcing that he's going to go after the enemies from within. That got the general ready to speak again. So Kelly's ready to talk because of that. You know, it's interesting. I love the raw sound just because you can hear him being cautious.
Yeah.
You can hear him being very careful and trying to think through what he's going to say. But, you know, so he'll start and then he'll go on a little tangent and then he'll come back and answer the question more fully. You can tell it's tugging on him and
it's
he doesn't know quite
him.
Quite how to get it out. But he gets it out again, and I admire him for that.
General John Kelly, former chief of staff for Trump. Yeah, and the reiteration, I think, you know, he explained, "Oh, Mr. President, that's outside of your authority." And he hears these things, and now he hears them again, and specifically that he will use, that Donald Trump would use the military against his political opponents, the motivating factor for Kelly to come out and say some new things and reinforce some old things. Let's keep going on it. We'll get to the callers. Be patient, 855-752-4842. I've got a few more cuts here. Trump doesn't understand the Constitution or American values. Cut four, please, Jess.
I mean, is he the biggest threat to the country that you've seen in your life out of all the threats, like post 9/11, all these different things?
Well, I think he's certainly the only president that has all but rejected what America is all about and what makes America America in terms of our Constitution, in terms of us, our values, you know, the way we look at everything, to include family and government. And he's certainly the only president that I know of that was certainly in my lifetime that was like that.
The only president who has rejected what America is about.
Rejected. Yeah,
that's pretty dramatic.
It is. And when you're a billionaire, you know, yes, he does. You don't worry about those things, I guess. If you get to be that rich and you're hoarding that kind of money, is there any sense of community or obligation to your neighbors or your environment or all those things? Is all that just thrown out the door for stacks of George Washington's? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think for some super rich people, you know, who've never had accountability, who've always been able to get his way, you know, everyone is to be used. Everything is to be used. Everyone is there for their own enjoyment and use.
It's all transactional.
And totally. And they've got the power in that transaction.
We got some more cuts to get to, but we got some patient callers. Let's get Joe in from Madison. Joe, welcome. What do you got for us?
I just wanted to throw this in for your consideration. I've been hearing from some folks that in some ways, Trump is not as concerned about winning the election as he is about winning the shenanigans after the election. He feels that he might have an opportunity, and not a January 6th, let's go to that again. But instead, the date that would be important is one that I just was not familiar with. This was put forward by the reporter Greg Palast, who has worked for The Guardian, BBC, Washington Post. He's been working on election issues since Gore v. Florida, 25 years. He's really put in his time. And he was here in Madison last week, and he said his worry is not January 6th, but December 11th, which is the date that the Constitution says you have to do what's called the Certificate of Ascertainment. That's a deadline, which means every governor must send to the National Archives a final list of electors to the Electoral College. And then if that certificate never arrives, the state gives away its electoral votes. Now, why would they? That makes no sense at all. But as explained, it is if neither candidate gets 270 electoral votes, the election gets tossed into the 12th Amendment process, which I was stupid about. I didn't know much about that. But apparently under the 12th Amendment, the president is chosen by the states, one vote per state, which means with 26 Republican-controlled state delegation, there's the way that Trump can win. So, gossip I'm hearing is that on the 11th, much more likely that.
Thank you for the comments, Joe. That is concerning. We'll come back with more of the comments from General John Kelly about Trump and Hitler.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde.
Javier made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. Doing a little singing in here with Jess on the board, on the lines. Rothschild also in studio in Madison. Thank you, Matt, for joining us. Audience, you can join us as well, 855-752-4842. Be patient when I get through the John Kelly sound. We got a few more cuts in this short segment, so let's get to it. Jess, Kelly sees Trump putting personal loyalty above loyalty to the Constitution. You think? I mean, this guy spent more time with him than anybody. Let's hear cut number five, please, Jess.
And did the former president appreciate the Constitution? Did he appreciate any of these things?
No. It was fascinating. I mean, he doesn't know a lot about
anything,
you know, American history, and certainly as a former executive in his civilian world, you know, I guess you can be a dictator because you can fire people pretty easily, and the only thing theoretically that you have to follow is the law. But then again, an awful lot of people break the law and expect subordinates to break the law or to circumvent the law somehow. And that's where he was coming from. That was his worldview.
So he expected the people that worked for him to break the law?
Well, when he would give, and I think I've told you this many times, when he would tell me that he wanted to do something, 100% of the time I check with the White House counsel.
100% of the time.
Oftentimes he wouldn't have the authority to do what he wanted to do. And again, that's an interesting point, because if you listen to, certainly my study of presidents, and if you listen to presidents when they leave office, whether they write a book or, you know, do interviews, one of the things that surprises them initially was how little power they actually had. And how much they had to work with the Congress to get things done. And most of them accepted that and worked within the rules of what the Constitution dictates. It's frustrating, I'm sure. Well, I know it's frustrating for them. because, you know, their agenda that they're trying to push, and suddenly they have to go to the Congress to get money. And if the Congress is not inclined to go along with it, then it's very frustrating. But that is the law.
That is the law.
And when he was confronted with the fact that he couldn't do something, did he want to do it anyway? I mean, when he was confronted with the fact that he couldn't do something legally, did he want to do it anyway?
He would try to make the case that he did have the authority.
He would try.
I mean, a couple amazing things out of there. First of all, it helps when you have a relationship with a source when you're a reporter, because obviously this reporter has been talking with Kelly a lot. They've had a lot of conversations, so they have a good rapport.
Yeah.
But the thing that he was saying about Trump was that every time he talked, Trump wanted to do something illegal, and he had to go run to the White House office of counsel.
100% of the time.
What to do about this.
Wow, what a monumental waste of time. When you can't trust the orders of your boss and you have to run it by legal every
100% of the time.
Yeah, that takes a little time. Let's squeeze.
But again, let me just mention.
Yes.
Now, with the Supreme Court decision on immunity, he could get away with doing that stuff, though, because he's the president.
Let's do one more cut in this segment. Jesse, would please the comments about Hitler Cut 6?
He commented more than once that, you know, that Hitler did some good things, too. And, of course, if you know history, again, I think he's lacking in that. But if you know what Hitler was all about, it'd be pretty hard to make an argument that he did anything good.
So what would you say when he said to you that Hitler did a lot of good things?
Well, I tell him that. I said, you know, sir, first of all, you should never say that. But if you knew what Hitler was all about from the beginning to the end, everything he did was in support of his racist, fascist life, philosophy, so that nothing he did you could argue was good. It was certainly not done for the right reason. And but he would occasionally say that.
What would he say when you would lay that out to him?
He'd just, that'd be the end of the conversation usually.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, come on. You know, according to Trump, Hitler did some good things. And, you know, I remember some of the stories in history that, hell, Mussolini kept the trains on time.
I mean, this is the most disgusting thing here. We have a guy who was president, who may be wants to be president again. By the polls, half the people in this country want him to be president again, and he's apologizing for Adolf Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews and a whole bunch of other people, and a lot of Americans died fighting him, a lot of Russians died fighting him, and it was just the most racist government to the core. He was putting people in ovens. You know, I've been to Auschwitz. I've seen the ovens that he put people in. And for Trump to be applauding Hitler just shows how morally unfit he is, how morally degenerate he is.
And it goes to show the danger of not being aware of or appreciating or having any curiosity about the history of this country, of the world. Donald Trump has zero interest in that. And according to him, Hitler did some good things. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. That's Matt Rothschild. Thank you, Matt. Going to stick around for another hour. We got Jess on the board, 855-752-4842. We took a little long on this. We're going to have a few cuts on the other side. And then is they're going to pick this thing up. We're going to talk positive about why and how and what it means and what will happen when Kamala Harris wins the presidency. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, former UN Ambassador Susan Rice will join us at 10:33. Hour number two, all things sports with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. And this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.